Good evening. The scripture that Brother Jeff requested is taken out of Gospel of John, John chapter 6. We're going to read verses 22 to 58. This portion talks about the bread of life that came down from heaven, the bread of God, and it says how it gives life to the world. Certainly goes along with the Christmas season. Okay, beginning to read at verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were going away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberius nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, who hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him in my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father's, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
I would like it if all of the children who are here would come up and sit on this front bench over here. If they could do that right now, please. I have some things that I would like to talk about with the children, and as far as whether or not you're a child and fit in that category, I'll leave that up to you. So you can decide if you want to come up here and sit in the front. Come on up to the front here. Come on up, Colton. Want to sit down here? Okay, good. Let's see. All right. The last time I did this with the children, I thought I was going to run out of room, and I see that I over-prepared for tonight. There were a couple more. Are they coming back in? Okay. Well, we are talking about bread tonight. Do you eat bread? Do you like bread? You do? I may need some help getting these to talk tonight, so you can answer if they won't answer for me. How many different kinds of bread do you think there are? Do you like bread? Different kinds? How about you, Colton? How many kinds of bread do you think there are?
I don't know.
You don't know? How many kinds of bread do the rest of you think there might be? Of all the different kinds in the world. Any guesses?
20.
20 different kinds? Okay.
Hundreds?
You're still off by a factor of 10, from what I could find out. There's actually thousands of different. In fact, the one thing that I found is supposedly there is more than 1,300 different kinds of bread just in Germany. And Germany is the nation where they eat the most bread per capita. Now, do you have a favorite kind of bread? Do you know anything about any kinds that you might like, different kinds? Let me show you some. Now this is bread. What kind of bread? Do you know what that's called? It's a tortilla. And it's bread. Now I found some other kinds of bread in our kitchen today. This is bread. You might not think of it as being bread, but it is. Here's another kind of bread that we had in our kitchen. It's kind of a yellow color. Do you know why it's yellow? It has sweet potatoes in it. So that's a different kind. So see right here, we've got three different kinds. But if I were going to choose my favorite kinds of bread, this would be one of my favorites. You recognize this. Yeah, is that one of your favorites, Nathan? Yeah. Martin's potato bread. And I brought some along. And your hands are all clean, right? So you can reach in and you can pull out a piece of this and you can try it. Go ahead and eat it if you want. You want some bread too? Do you want some? Here's a piece of bread for you if you want it. Do you want it? I'll give it to you. Here you go. Do you like that kind? It's pretty good, isn't it? I like that. Now that's familiar to us, but do you know what kind of bread they would have eaten if you had lived in Jesus' time? There's a story in John chapter 6, just before what was just read a little bit ago. And remember when Jesus broke the bread? Some of the times in Jesus' time, they had loaves of bread that looked about like that. Does that look like a loaf of bread to you? It's a different kind, isn't it? I don't even know how to pronounce the name of that. It's like naan or something. I'm not sure how to say it. Do you want to try a piece of it? You're still working on your first one. You want to try some, Colton? You want to try a piece? Now, this will taste different. You want to try a piece of this? You're not sure? How about you? You don't want one? Tell you what. I'll give you one and you can save it if you don't want to eat it now, all right? There you go. There's a lot of butter in that, so that will taste different to you. And there are a lot of different ways to cook bread. What are some of the different ways that bread can be cooked? Where do you usually put bread to cook it? In the... Not sure? In the oven, that's right. But how else can you cook bread besides putting it in the oven? I'll ask that question of the rest of you.
Hot coals.
Okay, that's true. Right on the hot coals. How else?
Fry.
Mm-hmm. You can have fry bread, which is pretty good. What else? Mm-hmm. You can cook bread on a hot rock. They do that. I have had steamed bread before. There's all sorts of different ways that you can cook it, different things with bread. Do you know what you make bread out of?
What no.
Okay. What do you put in it to mix that up to make bread dough? How do you make bread dough? Do you know what you use? Do you know? Okay. You're not sure? What are some of the different things that bread can be made from? Around here, the most common would be wheat bread. But what else?
Barley.
That's what was in the loaves that the little boy had in the first part of John chapter 6. What else?
Corn bread.
That's an American type.
Rye
bread. And speaking of rye bread, that's the last kind that I have here for you. In fact, this is a different looking loaf of bread. You ever see a loaf of bread shaped like that before? Before I cut it, it was a big round loaf of bread. And there's a funny name for that one. That is called pumpernickel. And I'm not making that name up either. That's really what it's called. Do you want to try some of it? Now, you don't have to. And if you want to save it for later and try it later, you may try it later if you want. Or you can try it right now if you would like. You want to try some? Pumpernickel bread is different. Do you want it to take back with you? Or you want some? You're not sure? You want it? You don't want it either? You can try it later if you would like. What do you think, Colton? Do you like it? You do? Good. I have to say, I'm not particularly fond of it myself. But somebody else at my house likes it really well. So we've talked about what bread is made from and how you can make it and all the different kinds, but here's what I want you to think about. Why do we eat bread? Why do you eat bread? Why do you eat bread? Katie? You're not sure? Why do we eat bread? To stay alive. Because it's one of the things that gives us life is eating, and bread is one of the most common foods for that. Why else? What are some other reasons why we eat bread? Do you like? Okay. You're getting a little more detailed than I was thinking. I was thinking of answers children might give me. that's true. And then you choose the type of bread specifically for that. We eat bread to help us stay alive. And we eat bread because we are hungry. And it's there. And so we eat it and it fills us up. And one more reason that I was thinking of why we eat bread, does it taste good? Do you like bread? You do? Okay, so we eat it because we like it. It tastes good. Now, here's what I want you to think about, children. See this picture here? It's got a picture of the bread and the fish. And this is what Jesus said about himself. He said, I am the bread of life. And that's what Jesus called himself. And when we eat bread because it's good. And we eat bread because it keeps us alive. And we eat bread because it fills us up. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he's saying, I am good. Just like bread is good, Jesus is good too. And we eat bread because it fills us up when we're hungry. Jesus fills us up too. When there are things that we need, Jesus fills them. And bread keeps us alive when we eat it. Jesus keeps us alive when we eat it too. He's good, he fills us up, and he gives us life. Can you say this with me? I am the bread of life. Can you say it again, please? Yes, thank you. Very good. Now, if you like to color, you can take one of these with you, and you can go back to your seats now. If you want to color one of those, you can take one along back with you and then color it later. So you can go on back to your mom and dad now. And this is the passage that I'm going to talk about for a few more minutes yet. Bread isn't just something that we've come up with. It's been around for thousands of years. In fact, bread was probably one of the first prepared foods there was. It can be found in all sorts of prehistoric places. I believe there is bread that has been found in the pyramids in Egypt. It's been around for a long time. We talked about the different things that bread can be made out of, the different ways that bread can be prepared. And because of the importance of bread to people, it's become a symbol of many things. We think about even in our own language, there are words that we use that involve bread and the symbolism of bread. We say that somebody is the breadwinner, or we talk about an area being the breadbasket of a country. Even some of the words that we use, if you look back at where the words came from, companion and company, both of those words have in the middle of them the Latin word for bread, And they talk about one that you would share bread with. When you say a companion, that's really what it means, somebody that you share bread with. And of course, to the Jews, bread was also symbolic. They called it the staff of life. And if you would go back in the Jewish history, bread had been very important to them, thinking of the manna that sustained them during the 40 years in the wilderness. Bread was also part of their sacrifices, and they were familiar with all of the symbolism of bread, and they understood the importance of it. And keep that in mind then as we look at this passage from John, of everything that bread represented to the Jews, and even not just to the Jews, but to all cultures, but especially to them with the connection with the Feast of Unleavened Bread and manna and all of those other things that were unique to the Jews. And in this passage, it's the same way as it is all through the Gospel of John. John structures his gospel around presenting a sign, something that Jesus did to show his power, his divinity. And then it's followed by presenting Jesus as the Son of God, and then Jesus gives one of his I am statements. And here he's saying, I am the bread of life. And it's following the multiplication of the loaves of bread and the fish there by the Sea of Galilee. It's the day after Jesus had done that. And thinking about it being a day later, these people the day before had had enough to eat and they were all full and satisfied, but 24 hours later, just like us, they were hungry. They were ready to eat again. And that's one of the things that Jesus is referring to. It's also, John points out, around the time of the Passover. And of course, just before the Passover was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so that was also something that John was thinking about as he looked back on this and he reflected on what had happened when he wrote it. He recognized that connection between what Jesus had done and what Jesus had said, and also the timing of that. And also thinking about the place where this was, the miracle of the loaves and fish took place on the east side of the lake, which was the same side as the wilderness where God had given the Israelites the manna. If you remember, the manna continued all the way until the time that they crossed the Jordan and went west into Canaan. And after that time, there was no more manna. Jesus multiplied the bread and gave it to the people on the same area where God had provided manna for the Israelites. So all of those connections were there in this. And now as we look at the passage that Art read, it's the next day. Jesus and his disciples have gone back across. They've gone over to Capernaum. And the people are looking for Jesus again, and so they follow him back over there. They look for Jesus, but Jesus says they're not looking for him for the right reason. Basically, Jesus says, you just came over here because you wanted some more of that bread that I gave you yesterday. Jesus is talking to them on a spiritual level throughout, and it's very hard for them to see beyond the material level. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's speaking symbolically of the spiritual significance, but they're still thinking about the kind of bread that Jesus was breaking and handing to his disciples, and then they had eaten the day before. Now, we're going to look at what Jesus said about himself in being the bread of life. And the first question is, what is the bread of life? And I didn't ask that question that way to ask for a hard answer. It's a very simple answer. Jesus is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He says in verses 35 and also in 48, I am the bread of life. And in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread. So in verses 35 and 48, when he calls himself the bread of life, he's saying, I am the bread that is necessary to give and to sustain life. And in verse 51, when he says, I am the living bread, he's saying, I am the bread which continues to be alive. Now, why did he call himself the bread of life? I think that some of the things that Jesus said about himself are a little simpler to understand. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, to me, that's a little more straightforward. When he calls himself the bread of life, he's speaking figuratively. And what he was doing was trying to take everything that they knew about bread and all of the symbolism connected with bread and attach that to himself. So that when they would think of bread and how it's important for life, it sustains life, they would think of Jesus and realize that he also is important for life. And when they think of the manna that they referred to, and then Jesus also talked about it, when they would think of the manna and how it was provided by God and came down from heaven, that they would think, well, Jesus was also the Son of God and came down from heaven. That they would recognize him as a blessing from God, just as bread was to them. They even had the Jews had a blessing that they would say when they would break bread, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, which bringeth forth bread from the earth." That they would recognize that Jesus was from God and was a blessing to them. And really, even Jesus, I think, was looking forward here to the time of his death, when he would say, "This is my body, which is broken for you," and he would break the bread and hand it to the disciples. So Jesus, when he called himself the bread of life, wanted the Jews to think about all of the symbolism and the significance of natural bread, and then use that as symbols that would point to him. What is the source of this bread of life? Jesus said, it's from heaven. It's something that's given by God. And I think the reason why he pointed that out is because in verse 28, they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Now they were looking for something that they could do. They wanted to know, just like when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he wondered about what he could do and all of these other things. But Jesus says the source of this bread is not something that you're going to do. You're not going to get all of these blessings by anything that is in your power, but instead it's something that's going to come down from heaven. Just like the manna came down from heaven and was provided by God, Jesus, the bread of life, also came down from heaven and was provided by God. Verses 32 and 33, 38, 50, 51, and 58. He repeats this six different times. He says it's the bread which comes down from heaven. Now right away, that should have alerted his audience that he was something, or that he wasn't just referring to physical bread like he had fed them with the day before. But they kept thinking literally and they kept stumbling on this. And then Jesus gets to the part that really caused problems for them in their understanding. How do we eat the bread of life? And I phrase it that way on purpose because that's the way Jesus said it. And it does sound pretty awkward when you start thinking, well, Jesus is the bread of life, so how do we eat the bread of life? But that's what Jesus said. That we have to eat that bread, the bread of life. And he made it even plainer than that. If you look at verse 50, closer to the end, verse 51, he said, "If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh." And so Jesus is really, I believe that Jesus was in this section of the passage, he was intending to be as blunt as he could and to shock them if necessary, to try to get them to see past the material into the spiritual significance of what he was saying. But they kept stumbling on that. And people, I think, still stumble today. The Jews in this time, they took it literally, and they were thinking, well, you can't really eat of his flesh, so he can't be saying what we think he's saying. Now, the Roman Catholics take it in the opposite direction. They take it literally to mean that when they take communion, the bread actually is the real flesh of Jesus, just put into a palatable form. So how do we eat the bread of life? What did Jesus really mean when he said, "Eat of this bread"? I think the answer isn't really that difficult if we look at what gets repeated throughout this passage, and if we look at the way that Jesus makes parallels. Look at verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. That's the beginning of the verse. Then he says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And then I think is where Jesus starts pointing the way to how we eat the bread of life. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. We eat the bread of life by believing, by faith in Jesus. There's a parallel, verse 47. Jesus says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So he's saying that believing gives everlasting life. And he also says that eating of this bread gives everlasting life. We eat of this bread of life by believing. Believing, Jesus says in verse 29, is the work of God. It's the work that God approves of. And he receives to believe on the one that he has sent. That's not what they were expecting. And it really, frankly, isn't what anybody expects, because it's natural in every one of us to ask the same question that the Jews did. What can I do to earn my salvation? Just like they were basically asking. But the work of God is to believe on the one that he has sent. And here, of course, believing is not just saying in your mind, well, yes, I know this to be a true fact. When Jesus talks about believing on the one that God has sent, what he's really talking about is accepting it as true, beginning with that but continuing. You accept it as true, and then once you know that it is true, you submit to the truth of it so that from then on, everything that you do is guided by what you know. And that your actions are a result of your belief. That's what it means to believe. It doesn't mean that one time you said, I believe in Jesus. To believe in Jesus as the work of God is to know it is true, to submit to that truth, and then to live out your life according to that truth. Now, how is believing on Jesus like eating food? Because that's the parallel that Jesus made, and I think we can get some details out of that symbol. First of all, it is something that is received willingly. It is not forced. It's very rare that any of us has to be force-fed. I suppose there are some circumstances where it's necessary. But for the most part, most of us have the opposite problem. We kind of have to force ourselves not to overfeed. We eat willingly, and it should be the same way with eating of the bread of life, that it is received willingly. We also take it in. Eating is not something that's an outward action. Now, I realize that when your children are really small, it does seem like they're trying to absorb their food through their faces rather than ingest it. But we know that it's got to get into your mouth, and it's the same way with believing in Jesus. It has to be something that you take in, and it goes into you. And you incorporate it into yourself. And it becomes part of the one who is consuming it. The food is incorporated into your body. You know that saying, you are what you eat. Well, it's literally true. You and I, all of us here, our bodies are made of the things that we have eaten. That's where all of the building blocks come from, that and the water that we drink and the air that we breathe. And it's the same way with eating of the bread of life. The one who is coming to Jesus and continues to believe in Jesus, just as Jesus said in that same way, that person is receiving that life into him so that it becomes part of him. Look at what Jesus said in verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And so when we eat the bread of life, we incorporate him into ourselves spiritually. This is not something that's a one-time event. If you look at the verb tenses in the original, it's not just that you believe once and Jesus came once and all of these other things. All of these are present tenses. They're continuing. And so it really could be, he who is coming to me and he who is receiving me over and over. And it's the same way with us when we eat. You don't eat one meal and then continue on that meal for the rest of your life. And it's the same way with us when we receive Christ. We don't just believe in him once and then continue on the strength of that for the rest of our spiritual walk. It has to be we come back to it over and over, continually believing in Jesus and receiving him into ourselves. Now, these words are symbolic. The bread of life and eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Those are all symbolic words. We understand that Jesus did not mean literally that the people were to take of his body or his blood there at that time. So we understand that they're symbolic. And our receiving and partaking and the union that we have with Christ, all of those are symbolized in eating of bread. But there is one specific thing that we do as believers periodically to remind us of that. And that's when we take communion. Communion is a physical action that we do to remind ourselves of the spiritual action of believing. And when we eat that bread, then we're reminding ourselves again of how in faith, by believing in Jesus and continuing to come to him in faith and receive him and walk with him, that we are continuing in him. But I was thinking this afternoon about that with communion. I don't think that there is any of us at Love Feast time would say to someone else, "So, would you go and take communion on my behalf tonight? I don't feel like going. So you go and you take communion for me and I'll receive the benefit from it because you were there and you took communion on my behalf." Obviously, that's not something that's going to work. And in the same way, and this is something that maybe the younger ones can think about, receiving Jesus and believing in Jesus is not something that anybody else can do for you. You have to do it for yourself. You have to be the one who believes in him and receives in him. It's nothing that your parents can do for you or anyone else. Now, what are the benefits of the bread of life? Well, we think about the nutritional benefits of food. We eat it because it provides us the energy that we need. And it gives us the things that our body needs to sustain it. And that's really what Jesus is using also in symbolizing himself as the bread of life. Verse 35, he says, "He that cometh to me," and again there it is, "he who is coming to me shall never hunger." One of the benefits of feeding on the bread of life is satisfaction of spiritual desires. The Jews were already hungry, even though they had eaten everything that they wanted the day before and they had leftovers. And it's the same way with all the food that we eat. And that really is symbolic of trying to satisfy all of our desires spiritually with the wrong things. Have you ever had something that you ate so much of it that you just got tired of it and you didn't want to eat any more of it? Maybe never even again, possibly. But you just had enough and you didn't want any more of it. It's not that way with Jesus. It's the opposite with Jesus. The more that we partake of Jesus, the more that we want of him. And so he satisfies our hunger at the same time that we desire more of him. But he satisfies. "He who is coming to me shall never hunger." There's satisfaction of all of those longings in the soul, the things that each of us really longs for, of acceptance and of love and of knowing that there's somebody who cares about us and knows us, all of those are satisfied in Jesus. "He who is coming to me," Jesus says, "shall never hunger." True belief in Christ never fails to satisfy, and true belief in Christ never loses its attraction. And Jesus also said in verse 51, "If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." You know, we eat food And we continue to go back and eat it. But there's going to be a time that that's not going to be enough for our bodies, and they're going to die. But it's not that way when we partake of the bread of life. We continue to come to Jesus, and we continue to feed on Him. He satisfies our desires and our longings, but not only does He satisfy our longings, He keeps us alive eternally, He says. If we continue to come to Christ over and over, all the time, back to Him, believing in Him, following Him, and incorporating Him into us, the one who continues to come to Christ and believe in Him will have eternal life, Jesus says. And finally, what's the necessity of the bread of life? We could go our whole lives and never eat bread again. There's all sorts of other foods that we could eat. Now, there are things that we have to have in order to stay alive. There are certain components of food that we need to eat. We can't live long physically without food, however. And there's a parallel to Christ, the bread of life. If we're going to stay alive spiritually, then we have to continue to feed on Him in order to live. Verse 53, Jesus says, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you." The bread of life is absolutely vital for our spiritual lives. There is nothing else that we can eat spiritually that will satisfy us. And there is nothing else that we can eat spiritually that's going to give us eternal life. He is absolutely necessary for this. Jesus talked about the manna that the Israelites ate in the wilderness. And He was thinking about that. The Jews were thinking about that. And if you remember that time, all of those years of wandering in the desert, what did they do with the manna? They got tired of it after a while. And I understand that. If I had the same thing every day for 40 years, I can understand that you would get tired of it after a while. They complained about it, and they wanted something else. And some of them even said it would have been better for us to be back in Egypt where there was better food than this. At the end of this chapter, verse 66, John writes, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And that's what I'd like us to remember. Jesus is the bread of life. He alone is the bread or the food that can satisfy us spiritually. And He alone is the bread that can give us eternal life. There is no place else we can go to find the bread of life.
There's a song that came to my mind, at least partially. I was trying to put it together as Brother Jeff was speaking. The title of the song is called Satisfied. And one of the verses goes something like this. I can't put it all together. Feeding on the husks around me, something that would satisfy. And I can't put together the rest of the line. But it's talking about feeding on something other than the bread of life. And he calls it husks around us, something that would satisfy. The chorus goes, "Hallelujah, I have found Him, what my heart so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings, and through His blood I now am saved." Shall we kneel for prayer?